Luke, we've only got two episodes left in the season. What do you think about that?
Wow. We have had seasons in the past that we did for longer than the 12 episodes that we prefer, but, you know, we could keep this one running.
Well, that's also when we included the perspective episodes where we had guests, which is something that we've missed this season. We've had a couple of ideas for guests, but nah, next season probably.
I'm not sure why, but Matt declined the invitation.
We didn't make an invitation.
Well, perhaps that's why he declined. I think having a 12-episode season is a good idea. It builds in a natural break for us so that it doesn't become too much of a chore. And I know that lots of listeners might be disappointed to hear that we're going to take a break after 12 episodes, but
they'll be fine.
Yeah, you guys will survive, right? And I think actually break between seasons this time won't be as long as it has been in the past.
Probably not. And I was noticing that this week there's a number of things that we can cover, but I don't know about you. I'm feeling an increased, at least perhaps it's just my own nervous system, but a de-escalation where it's, I don't know, a little bit more, or maybe I've just been busy with other things lately, but I'm finding myself, maybe it's a bad thing, but I'm finding myself kind of like over the drama.
Oh yeah. Well, lucky for you, you've got an election in a couple of days. So.
Touché. Oh man. So a quick aside, I've been working with a couple of folks, including a few that our listeners may know, Ray from the repository, Dan, who's done a bunch of work on PostStatus over the years. We've been working on the latest chapter of the Web Almanac project, the latest edition rather, and the CMS chapter, which includes coverage of WordPress. There's a lot of work that goes into that. And so what it is, for those who don't know, is that the HTTP Archive project runs a crawler that pulls a large data set of sites. This year included just over 16 million sites in the results, and does a bunch of checks on things, pulling from the Core Web Vitals. And it also looks at what CMSs are being used. And for the past couple of years, it also looks at what page builders are being used. So the chapter will be published soon. The spoiler is that WordPress continues to grow according to this data set. So there's a number of different data sets to look at. This is another one. And the growth, though, has definitely slowed. It's a much slower growth than it has been historically. It's still a growth, but it's much slower relative to how the other platforms are growing. So that'll be out soon.
Okay. So we've been sort of saying on this podcast that WordPress has plateaued in terms of growth. Now, that typically means that there's a zero amount of growth involved, but if it's still growing, like, can we still say that it's plateauing? Do you think that we are in a plateau period, or?
So I think it feels like a relative plateau, right? Certainly compared to its meteoric rise in the past. It is still growing, though, at least by another data set. And it's showing year over year growth that, I think it's going to be, what will be interesting now is, does it ever start to drop? And if it drops, where is that pulling from? Is that because Wix and Squarespace are gaining? Is it because the overall use of CMS is shrinking, which is something we looked at this year in the data set?
So the growth, just to understand the data, the growth is percentage of installs, or is it number of sites?
So it is the number of sites within the data set that show that they're using WordPress. So,
and what's the data set?
So it's a total of 16 million sites that are crawled by this crawler, and the details are in the methodology. Mm-hmm. But of those 16 million or so sites, 35.6% of them use WordPress, which is its continued growth over previous years in the data set.
And that 65 million, does that increase over time? Like, was that the same?
The
16 million. Was it still 16 million last year and the year before?
No. It continues to increase as well.
So it's growing?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So yesterday I went to the cricket, and we're looking at the worm chart, which Oh, geez.
Cricket.
How do I explain Cricket on? Yeah. So you've got basically across the bottom is your overs. Think of it like the time played in an innings, right? The amount of time that's been played is the x-axis. And the y-axis is the amount of runs you've scored.
Yeah.
And then for the next team players and in their innings, they're also going to have a line overlaid over the top of the first innings line, and you'll be able to address how successful the team is doing comparatively. Yeah, anyway. So I was explaining this to my kids, and they said, can the line go down?
Okay.
And I said, no, it's impossible for the line to go down because in cricket, you can't lose runs. You can only gain runs. So you can't actually go down. And so is that going to be the case here also? If the data set keeps growing, it's going to always include websites that were previously on WordPress. And so it's not really possible to go down.
So at least according to this data set, that's not the case, because the other CMSs are like Drupal and Joomla, for instance, continue to drop in, even with the increased number of URLs. Like it does, whoever the, there's some relative right. numbers have been worked
because
on.
People can convert from one website, from one CMS to another, or they can just close a website too. So it's not really like Cricket, but really the amount of new websites being created is always going to be a lot more than the amount of websites being closed down or migrated. So there is definitely going to be a bias. If the data set is growing, there's going to be a bias towards new sites as opposed to existing sites.
The other potential factor, and we'll get into this more once we update the methodology, is that it's just looking at a larger set of existing sites. Because I don't think the data is suggesting that 8 million, like these are all net new sites that are added. I think just the data set was expanded.
All of that silly cricket metaphor to say, the stat that matters the most to me is, in the last 12 months, how many new sites were built with WordPress? And I don't know what that number is, but I would love to know. And I would suggest that if that isn't already going down, this is what it feels like to me. So let's find out, right? But it feels like it's already going down. And I want to know what happens now this whole Mattsplosion has happened, the Mataclysm.
I suspect it's not actually going down. And it's fair that it would feel that way because we have our sort of anecdotal world that we're exposed to. But I suspect that at very least, if the events of the past few months will have a negative impact, it's going to be seen on the leg. It's going to take longer for that to happen. And speaking of which, you know, some of the things that I think stand out, at least to me, from the past couple of weeks, there's been more plugins leaving WordPress.org, notably Paid Memberships Pro was one of the bigger ones that wasn't a WP Engine sort of related plugin to leave. And they're a pretty good size. Was it like 90,000 installs on WordPress.org?
Yeah, it was pretty big. It's a really interesting problem because on the plugin repo, if a plugin stops existing, in the past, what we've done is we've said, okay, well, probably it's a small plugin, and so we'll just close it and then we'll manually apply any security fixes we need to if there are, you know, between, I don't know, 10 and 10,000 installs. But once it gets into a bigger plugin area, we usually try to find somebody who can maintain that plugin, who's willing to volunteer to maintain the plugin, because there's a lot of people already using it. And then we this have a separate different. Situation with the WP Engine ban. That's a different thing. This isn't a ban, right? Paid Memberships Pro wasn't banned from the repo. They voluntarily chose to stop supporting their plugin there and requested that it was removed.
To which Matt, so according to the coverage on the repository, Matt reached out to Jason Coleman via Slack and basically said, if you go down that path, that the next step is for us to take over your listing and make it a community plugin like we did to ACF.
Yeah. Which, so there is precedent for that. It's pretty dodge though.
Right. And to which he followed up and said, is that what you want? You can't have it both ways. You're violating the plugin directory guidelines right now. And I thought Jason did a great breakdown of the history and touching on the guidelines specifically. there are some, and you might know this better than I do, but there were some violations, yet in the sense that the sort of the unspoken conclusion as well is, if Automattic's doing it, we can do it too.
Oh yeah.
There were things that were in the plugin that were there at a time where it wasn't a violation, and then the guidelines changed and it was
More commonly, yeah, it was introduced in an update perhaps. Yeah.
Yep. And it seemed like there was an understanding that it was accepted as a legacy. Like it's fine as long as they continue to update and improve. And anyway, I appreciated seeing how carefully they tried and laid out the decision and focused on the impact of their potential customers. But yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, I think it has some open questions about what happens next. I think maybe what happens if there is a security vulnerability in this plugin, and then they're not maintaining it. Who's going to fix that? Is that going to fall on the plugin team or the security team to be able to resolve that? And for all of these sites that are running it, you know, what about maintenance updates? What about when WordPress changes something? Because as much as we'd all like to think that it's backwards compatible forever, it's not really. So these are some open questions, and we'll see what happens there. So there is some uncharted territory here, but the more concerning part is the way Matt worded it to Jason Coleman. He said, and so we haven't seen these Slack messages, but they have been independently verified by Ray at the repository. And so she verified that this is what Matt said. He said, "You can't have it both ways. You're violating the directory guidelines. The next step is for us to take over your listing like we did to ACF, not fork your listing like we did to ACF. Matt is under no illusion that what WordPress, what Automattic did to ACF was a fork. He knows it was a takeover."
Yeah. And the thing that's also somewhat troubling to this, to me about this, is that Paid Memberships Pro, even though it's a smaller player in the space, is inadvertently a competitor to WooCommerce.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's a, so it feels somewhat unsavory. I like what Jason and the team have been doing with Paid Memberships Pro. I'm curious to see what the long-term ramifications are of this for them. They'll probably be fine, but it's going to, I don't know. It's an interesting situation.
Yeah. The other big one is Gravity PDF. That had 50,000 active installs or so. And again, just, sorry, we're out because of Matt's behavior. And then not only these plugins, but also some like really notable contributors who have just said, you know what, I've been contributing in my free time without any sponsorship or anything to this project for so, so many years. I'm out now. I've seen that quite a number of times.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened today in our last couple of minutes, Jonathan, is TechCrunch. And I think we have to say that mostly TechCrunch was a win for Matt because he didn't put his foot in his mouth yet again. So well done. It seems like not much was
said. That seems like a low bar.
Was said. Yeah. Right. However, we got some juicy bits of information. Once Automattic put up that severance package, we now know that there was 159 employees that took it.
Yep.
And then this, we've talked about this in a previous episode. We have some more details here. This Automattic did this dodgy thing where they offered an additional severance of 9 months, right? They said, okay, actually, we're going to offer a different severance package of 9 months. And it turns out, confirmed by Matt at TechCrunch, that this was a honeypot. This was never intended as a real severance. They just wanted to catch the leaker in the company. And everybody who said that they wanted to take that severance, they were told that they can't take it until next year because they're too short-staffed. It sounds like you went, whoops, too many people are leaving. Maybe we made a mistake here and you're trying to backtrack. I wish you'd just admit your mistakes.
Oh, man. Well, I'm looking forward to what the next couple of weeks look like, I guess. Hoping that there's less drama and there's more just moving on. And then maybe after some time off near the end of this this calendar year, people will be feeling better.